Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Oh, good evening, everyone, and welcome to An Emerging Forest. This episode, the first episode of 2017, with daylight savings time just coming on last night, and lots of events shifting around in my life. I just signed a lease here in Collinswood, New Jersey for a year, which is a change from first having been homeless to and having a nice relationship with someone who was providing an apartment for me, but now having grown my produce business, the Produce Club, to a certain point where I can actually afford to share a rent with a roommate. So that's really a different feeling in my life. And to be looking at my Produce Club and seeing all kinds of developments on a weekly basis, really happening quite rapidly, although I guess I'm so caught up in it that other people are looking in from the outside and telling me, wow, you're really changing quite quickly, and I'm just looking at it from the inside and sort of appreciating their observations. Tonight, I would just like to continue on with our general discussion about gardening. It's an interesting few days here in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Horticultural Society is holding its annual Philadelphia Flower Show, which is pretty famous in the area. And so if you were to approach an unknown plant or an unknown entity, and you were just in love with its value as a flower, you would want to know everything you could possibly know about that flower. And you would not put any limits on its potential of what it could possibly be. You would say, I'm completely ignorant about that flower, and I'd like to see it do whatever it could possibly do, so I'd like to offer it every possible experience and every possible avenue just to have it bloom in whatever way it could possibly bloom in. Because as a result of your treating that other unknown entity that way, you could have that new variation brought into your environment. Now, that's not so much with all of these quote-unquote tame domesticated plants that we have where the vibration is sort of known, but they're sort of looked at today as being, oh, that's a yellow, or oh, that's a purple, or oh, that's a darker color, or foliage is treated as being ornamental instead of being treated as being a spirit, where it could bring something unimaginable in if you just gave it the freedom to be itself or to be whatever it wanted to be if its conditions improved. And I look at that sort of philosophy as saying, I look at another living entity as if it has a soul whose backstory I can't possibly know, but each and every soul in each and every entity, and I won't limit what has a soul and hasn't a soul, but every possible speck of everything can either be treated as, oh, that's just a bit of color, we'll just give it whatever we deem, you know, the minimum, or we'll shortchange it, or the way this society treats most things as things of a set value, or not even of a set value. Oh, I don't understand that, therefore I can't capitalize on it, therefore it's valueless, and I'd rather have it replaced with something that I could capitalize on. Rather than saying, I'm ignorant of what has value truly to me in this garden, why don't we experiment and do what it wants? Or why don't we experiment and see what types of cultures come out of treating environments in different ways, saying, well, these things in this environment have value, what impact does that have? So there's what I tend to look at as there's a missing culture, or there's a spot to which we're blind in this culture, and it's one of treating everything that you meet as an opportunity that you're not quote unquote going to be paid for. So in a capitalistic society, everything is in terms of what can I get paid in money for? Or in a GDP society, things that aren't capitalizable are aggressively minimized and or removed, not allowed space to become themselves, and as a result we're left with a fragment of the whole. And of course I've talked about this before, where you're left with this non-functional nature, you're left with a broken ecosystem, and here we are in broken ecosystems where there's not enough trees, there's not enough plants to transport the water from one coast to another of a continent, because it's only about 150 miles from one side of a continent that water gets taken up in the atmosphere over a sea, and then it goes in a certain number of miles and it falls. It's not going to get any further than that unless there's these natural fountains throwing it back up into the atmosphere. And those natural fountains, of course, are trees and plants, but mostly trees, because trees, you can just look at them as being a living soda straw, and they're just pumping gallons upon gallons of water up into their leaves, and spewing it out into the atmosphere. This is marvelous cartoon of this herky-jerky looking soda straw, green and brown and whatever other color a tree is, soda straw, out to the ends of its leaves, just putting the water back up into the air. And then that water gets transported the next X distance across your continent. It rains. So here we are in a bunch of continents where, oh, man in his, capitalistic, viewpoint has said, oh, we need to put apartments and highways and things that we can capitalize on. But what's the cost? The cost is broken hydrology. The cost is lacking soil fertility. And what's the cost of those things? The cost of those things is the loss of the temperate part of the system, the loss of function of the soil acting as a temper on weather. And then as you further decrease the fertility of the soil, the region begins to act like a desert, which is what the United States or other continents that are heavily developed are acting like. One day it's snowing and the next day it's 75 degrees, all in the middle of February, when for the East Coast of the United States, it's supposed to be cold. It's supposed to be cold every day. It's supposed to be in the 30s, 20s, and 30s every day. It's supposed to stay that way as the weather slowly moves toward March, and then the weather slowly gets warmer, and then in April, maybe the middle of April, you're finally having spring weather instead of having crazy almost 80 degree days at the end of February. So it all comes down to It doesn't come down to ignorance. It doesn't come down to I don't know. The folks who are in charge right now are not ignorant. They know what they're doing. So it comes down to I don't know why they want to go to a certain place, but it comes down to not what somebody else wants, but recognizing, okay, this is what's going on. Where do you want to go? And what do you want to have happen? And what is the record? What is the short-term record? What's the long-term record of the folks who were in charge? And then saying, does that work for you or does it not work for you? And I think I've been pretty clear in saying, well, it doesn't work for me. The desert making, the lack of choice making, the basically the destruction of options for the mind. I want increasing options to explore for my mind. I don't want a removal of options for my mind, a removal of species from the oceans, the lands. Reduction in notions in my mind, reductions in originality. We don't want a planet that's just completely paved over in asphalt. Doesn't appeal. Having new flowers come out of the wilderness, having new species fly through the air, having new and different butterflies, having new and different creatures in the sea. That's what we would like to look for. So just need to say, well, I wonder if that's possible. And I don't want to be ignorant and say that it's not possible, that everything works in a systematic known way where nothing's really known, nothing's really systematic. So it's the case that you get to a point, and I think I understand, and sort of looking at a pattern of mathematics of the present culture and coming to a personal decision and saying, well, regardless of how the larger culture wants to live, I want to kind of live in a different way, and I want to kind of push for more choices to be available to me and more teachers. Then I had a thought today, and my thought was, if there was another experience to be had with the folks who are on this planet, something that I could learn, something that I could dive into, it, something that would broaden me, I would be having it right now. I wouldn't be building my own. I wouldn't be making my own. I'd be having that one experience that I haven't had before, or that set of experiences. And all I'm doing is I'm confronted with saying, well, there's this thing that I'm building that I'm pretty sure nobody else has. And it goes down a pathway of treating things in a certain way with a certain value system that I'm also pretty sure doesn't exist. And that's a pretty interesting thought to have, to say, I'm actually applying this alternative value system and starting to build something that's really alternative. Use that term, really alternative, but something that doesn't, you know, it's something that charges people a reasonable amount of produce, but something that also looks forward to not using commercial produce at all in the coming months, when of course there's local produce available, but then contracting and sort of building your own farms and saying, well, how would a farm function if you were doing it yourself? What models are there to use? And so starting to explore a new social arrangement. And those roads only start when you've explored the roads that are here. And if I'm so dissatisfied with the roads that are present here, that I would have been born at that place on the globe where there was the new experience. That new experience would have been right in front of me, but what was put in front of me was the tools with which to, you know, spark a new pathway for myself to explore, one that doesn't come from external creativity, but comes from just internal imagination. I mean, certainly using tools that are available externally, but using a lot of internal vision of how would I put this together, and sort of how would this function, and what's the bare bones and services that I could get by with, and how would the fees be collected, and what I need to, you know, now that we're working sort of within a money system, things are kept track of with money, but once we progress and move outside of a money system, there'll be a different way of accounting. So I sort of have to work in a money system at the present time. But looking toward not working in a money system, that's sort of an, you know, to be determined or TBD notion. But I've really come to
scratching my head moment. I'm really trying to understand why someone would reduce their choices. Why someone would... I'm certainly aware of a road that travels and gives consideration and respect and someone to bring out their deepest values so that you can look at them and be taught by them. But it is absolutely the case that the other side of the coin, the one that this society is traveling on, the reduction in choice direction versus the enhancement of choice direction, is certainly a part of the whole. Because it's being traveled, and regardless of how I'm reacting to it, quite in the negative, adamantly in the negative, it is being traveled by certain beings, and they do need it. So I'm not going to say that present, I'm not going to take a moralistic stance, and I'm not going to put myself into the marketplace and morally say what I'm doing is R-I-G-H-T, or what I'm seeking is J-U-S-T-I-C. That's as insane as saying something in the present direction is lawful. So I'm not going to say that what I want is anything other than equivalently available in the game space. Just like whatever you want is equivalently available in the game space. It's of equal merit. It's just a matter of, well, that's your vision, that's in your mind's eye. Can you make it happen? It's a matter of saying, well, I don't know, but I'll just stay an employee of the system over here that's going in this direction and call that good. Well, for some reason, I looked at that and said, I'm not going in that direction, and I will put the thing that I have, that I will put my shoulder to the journey and go in another direction with, and I will not compromise. So I won't just have the journey and be carried along by the waves of the reduction in choice society. I'll actually fight against the current and be the gadfly, or whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty interesting to business, and then to have all these thoughts and to think about other people as blooming flowers, and to say other animals are blooming flowers, and other oceans are blooming flowers, and other biosphere systems are blooming flowers, to look at the flowers on different levels of organization. To say, how, if I provide nutrition as best I possibly can at the various levels that I just talked about, what are the options?
that are going to come out. And from a capitalistic perspective, you'd like to say, well, what I want is I want consumption of this asset that I'm providing in the marketplace. Therefore, you would strictly say, well, what do I need in that biosphere in order to increase my consumption? Well, what you need is more people. So you make people habitat, and you make movies that advertise men and women getting together and having huge numbers of progeny. And you sanctify that union and do everything in your power to make that the romantic center and make cranking out little consumers for your product the highest goal in life. That certainly is one of, if not the main theme of this culture for many, many hundreds, if not thousands of years. That marketing campaign of man and a woman get together and have lots of babies and go forth and consume experiences provided to them, and that's how kingdoms are made, and that's how power is garnered, and here we are after many thousands of years in a society that's only has that as a memory of the way things should be. So with that as a sort of a jumping off point, I'd like to take a break with my favorite song by Gaurav the Bard, Green and Gray. See you on the other side.
Around the 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm far. What I say, grave. The priest said, Lucifer, Lucifer, you light so well. I pray unto my God, now go back to the fires of hell. You fell from heaven, and you fell from grace. You want dominion over this place. The piper smiled to the priest, he said, I was lord of animals, the wild hunt I led. Until your God came here, and with his jealous hand, it was he who wanted dominion over this land. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor said, if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh, you tempt us to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor
to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, I certainly
hope you were able to stretch your legs and get a drink. The entirety of the action space that I'm talking about includes the present active realm that we're in, the quote-unquote desertification, moving from larger sets of choices to smaller sets of choices. That's certainly the realm that we're in, the realm that we're actually exploring. And then we're talking about the opposing mathematical side of that, which is the side that actually is having more choices. We're talking about saying, well, do we like the present cultural choices, the present society, the present design of the present society? Do we like that design? And I, for one, have said, I don't like it. I'm going to try to make another one. I don't see another option, so I'm going to move in another direction. We can also think about, within the present society, how we've been taught to act, how we've been taught to move. We've been taught to move within a moralistic society, within a society of laws. So our choices of motion are based to some extent in morality, in law, in those types of ideas. And as we can look at how nature is functioning under a desertification society, we know that it's broken because it doesn't have access to what it needs to function. Its other half of its choices, or maybe you could say maybe it's only limited to 5% of its possible choices, and 95% of its choices are actually withheld, and that's why so many functions in nature don't work. So I don't want to say, oh, we've just been ruled by a line in the sand and that our choices have been cut in half. I want to be even more open to understanding how many of our choices we've actually given up, because we don't travel these roads without voluntarily going along them. I don't want to say down or up or any other judgmental words like that. So actually, the road to more choices is actually a road of discovery on all levels, a road of basically saying, I'm overcoming my inhibitions to act in certain ways. And if it's outside of social standard, then I don't speak of it in social circles. But I still know that it is within the field of possibility, and that it's in front of me, and to walk it would be disgusting to someone else who doesn't understand why I walk it. And so you have to make a choice. You're either with a group of people who have chosen to walk a different path. Call them the brothers and sisters in your new society, who you can confide in, who are actually involved actively in your projects. But certainly you don't bring these things in front of, you know, you don't walk up to somebody at the store counter and say, "Hi, I've been doing this over the weekend," because they would be shocked, probably, you know, if it was something that was outside of the law, you would get turned in or you know, recorded on some media device, and there you would be defending yourself in a quote-unquote official forum. So I'm not actively calling for people to break the law. I'm just actively calling for people to look at the size of nature to the size of our action set. And if nature is not explored and nature is not vitalized by our stepping into it and acting in it, it's the same as a plant that hasn't been given its full head to be itself. It's a crippled organism. And right now, much of the action space is not explored. So nature, or human nature, without saying animal A, animal B, just saying human nature, which covers every possible speck on this planet, human nature has, which is under the influence of humans, human nature has been squelched. Human nature has been crippled. So if we're going to propose an exploration of human nature, well, human nature has no form boundary or animate or inanimate boundary. So we immediately become in care of every speck and every mote that we can possibly think about and care for. Or we set the table for the totality as best we can and learn like crazy, I would think. So if you haven't walked the path in a long time, or you've avoided a path for a long time because society says you should be on that path, it's penalizable or something like that, that's a pretty tough choice to make, to walk in the on the wrong side of the tracks in society's eyes. But if it's not walked, if someone doesn't say, "Okay, that has to be walked, not because I know the outcome, not because I know the value of the outcome, not because I'm going to get paid for an action that I take, but because it hasn't been walked in a long time." Now, I'm not defining what that action is. I don't want to define what that action is. All I want to say is, if a role in society occurs to you in your head, you shouldn't say, "That's a departure from the norm." You shouldn't even define where its steps will actually fall within the morality of the society. Because right now, this society is that thin and thinner single reed whose strength every day is pared down as more people drink all of the fun drinks that there are to sanitize their lives in the society, all of the soft drinks that I haven't partaken of that are new and different since I stopped doing that, and all the television shows that I've never seen, but sometimes people talk about them and I just look and say, oh, I don't understand. I haven't been plugged into that in a long time. Longer ago than even when I was employed in the early 2000s. I guess I had a TV, but I certainly never used it much. So what's interesting to me is creating alternatives to this society now that I see a larger sense what the society is and understand that the society actually, the present actually parodies itself with the star actors and actresses being paper tie. I don't know what term to use. Being puppets, orchestrated puppets, marketing a lifestyle. In their everyday action as quote-unquote the Urstar, and then marketing a lifestyle when they appear on the screen and they're actually in a movie. Because movies to me are not about the heroic story. Movies to me are what is in the background and what is the moralistic content communicated in the story, and what are the products that are being sold, and what is the lifestyle, the heroic lifestyle that's being sold. And it's usually a moralistic content against another country, another ideology. In recent past, it's been against Middle Eastern ideology and ethnic system. And I'm no longer able to think like that. I'm just no longer able to devalue any other person or any other thing, because everything that I encounter is this unbelievable treasure that I just want to help, allow me to help. But I'll certainly go with its choices if it wants to hold up a hand that says, I don't want you to be involved in my life. I certainly turn away when that happens. I just don't understand the value system that looks at things as not invaluable, but as not valuable, as with a general eye of valuelessness. And it's really strange that I don't have that eye, because that's what this society is based on, this capitalistic society that can reduce the spectrum of nature because people are what generate money, and money is the goal. quality of the experience for the people isn't even the goal, to actually put them down in a better garden. Just having more people, reducing the garden space is how things are going. More and more people and more consumption. That's just such a strange, I'm not able to even bend my mind to look at another person and say, that's just someone who I can dismiss. That's someone who's not worth my time. So, as I usually do in the closing minutes of my program, I'd like you to encourage you to take some of these lessons and or concepts or notions or weirdness that I'm thinking about and see if you can expand the possibilities in your life by looking at other people as goal for a soul whose backstory is impossible to know. And maybe that person doesn't even know how valuable they are, but to treat every person as this immense treasure, to treat every animal as an incredible treasure, to treat the stones at the side of the broken glass and the spilled oil at the side of the road as being an immense, unrealizable asset. I know we can't take this much care with every particle yet, but I'd like to try. I'd like to, I guess what I'd like to do is I'd like to turn this society on its head and say, how would it be if we cared for each person and made it, each person and each, what would happen if we removed the capitalization goal, which is power for one person over others, and said, there's only one person here, so the goal is to provide the best for all at the same time. And how can we do that? How can we feed everybody and make sure all the plants get fed and all the soil gets fertility put back into it? And how the oceans can be treated so that they bring forth new life. Fishes dance in the sea, and the deer and the bear dance in the wilderness again, the same time that men and women dance in the cities, if there is such a thing, at a time that I'm envisioning. So it's all up to an individual's choice of what they want to see. And that's certainly what I want to see in the world. And if you're of a like mind, my email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I'm certainly available on Facebook as well. And if you're in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA area, the Produce Club is available by going to produceclub.us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to get in touch with their inner feelings, get in touch with their inner wishes, And just at the start, just think about your wishes. Think about where you want to go in your life. And just contemplate that. And maybe do one or two actions in the day that move you along that road and open up options. Make one phone call or take a class or do a physical activity or volunteer and gain a new skill set or talk to some people who maybe you'd rather not talk to, but who are doing something that you're interested in doing. Or set a goal for yourself. Say, how am I going to get to that goal and see the parts of what need together in order to get to that goal? And then choose a small step to take along that long goal line. And say, well, okay, I can't get here. I can't get where I want to get straight away. But what I'll do is I'll think about my goal, but I'll also think about accomplishing the little mini steps that need to be accomplished. And maybe by thinking about the little mini steps and every once in a while thinking about the longer term goal, things will change more rapidly than you thought possible. I think that we're in, what's happened is there's changing of the guard here. There's a changing from a society whose governors have a certain number of choices and they're sort of removing themselves, and a new set of choices will come into fashion. And a new guard or a new set of teachers will come in, and it will be a vastly different society. It will be an immeasurably different society that will take place. And that's because when a group of people no longer have choices that they can make that are meaningful to them, and the same set of choices is over and over and over again, mathematically, new choices have to be offered. And when a set of supervisors can no longer offer those choices, they have to be replaced, and a new set of choices has to be offered. So I think that's what's going on, and that it's going to be quite a different game space as a result of the requirement for change. And I think a lot of what we take for granted as being how things work these days is going to be preserved in a small area of society, because everything should be preserved in order for people to walk those paths. But it certainly won't be as widespread as it is today. I really hope that you've enjoyed the program tonight. And as always, my given name is Alan Blair Ritter. I have no idea who I really am. And each of you has a given name. And be reverent of yourself, because you have no idea who you really are. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.